I'm here in the studio today with soprano and writer Sarah Toth, stage director Maria Berry, and artistic director of Marble City Opera, Catherine Frady. All three are here to talk about Marble City Opera's exciting upcoming production, the U.S. premiere of the Nero Monologues, which Sarah wrote, along with composer Peter James Learn and librettist Jeffrey Lehman. The performances will take place at Kandura Marble on November 1st, 2nd, and 4th, all at 7:30 p.m. Welcome to WUOT, all of you. Thanks for coming to talk with me.
Hi, Melanie. Thanks for having us.
It's always great to see you.
Thanks for having us.
There's so much to talk about with this production. It's hard to know where to begin. Sarah, perhaps let's start with how you came to create this work, because this was initially your idea, right?
Sure. Thanks for asking. Thanks for having us on the show. So this originally came as an idea. I played the role of Nero in Monteverdi's The Coronation of Poppea. Mm-hmm. And I was really fascinated by the character of Nero. There's a lot that I found out about him that isn't as represented in other pieces. The fact that he considered himself primarily an artist. And also there's a lot of personal traumas in his past and his upbringing and in his life that might have contributed to who he was as a ruler. And so I took some of the excerpts from Monteverdi and a couple other Handel aria and some other pieces and combine it with poetry by Jeffrey Lehman to create kind of a mashup piece. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then I got Peter James Learn on board as a composer to add in some extra musical elements that really made it an amazing chamber opera.
So this is sort of a fusion of spoken word, pre-existing music, and the newly composed music.
Exactly right. Yeah, that's right. It's a little bit different than your typical chamber opera, mm-hmm. But it's really interesting to have several different artistic media all in one form.
Yeah. So you seek to offer a humanized view of Nero, but by all accounts, he was a murderer, a rapist, a tyrant. Why would you want to sympathize with
such a
person?
That's a really good question, Melanie. And for some reason, I tend to have empathy. Nero was a killer. He was a murderer. But he also was a person who felt things deeply and had a private life that we might not have seen much about in history books. Mm-hmm. And so I suppose when my mind is working with all of these ideas about who he was as a person, I want to bring out some of those things that we don't typically see about him.
Mm-hmm. And so I'm curious if the goal of this production is to go even beyond just Nero himself, but to humanity in general.
Yeah, that's a really good question. And perhaps Maria can talk a little bit about the interpretation, because I think that some of the ideas that in the production we might be touching on general ideas as well.
Yeah, I think the most humanizing aspect of this show is what do you do when you're faced with your imminent death? Because this show captures Nero at a time when he's been declared an enemy of the state. So there's really no other option for him but to die, whether it is by someone else or by his own doing. So we're journeying with him as he's facing all these aspects of his life. Like, what do you do when you know that you're about to die? You think about your life. You try and bargain. You try and find some type of hope when there really is none, when mm-hmm. the only answer is death. So that's kind of, I think, where we can relate to Nero in this aspect, regardless of what he did in his past life.
The composer is Peter James Learn. Tell us a little bit about him, how you came to choose him to be the composer, and a little bit about his compositional style.
Sure, of course. So Peter is a colleague from grad school, actually, when we were at Ithaca College working through our master's degrees. Mm-hmm. I knew him from that time. And there was a piece that I was interested in including in the original version of Nero Monologues, which was an art song with string quartet accompaniment. And we got to thinking, and he said, oh, I really love these poems. I love the topic. Why don't I write some more? And so I said, that's a great idea. And so he writes really quickly, mm-hmm. which is amazing. He just has so much in his brain that he can get out on paper. And so before we knew it, we had like so much content with him setting these pieces to music and also having underscoring for some of the spoken text. And he was wanting to bring in a little bit of flavor of Baroque music mm-hmm. and also quotations from other things within history. But his style is very lush at sometimes, very rhythmic, mm-hmm. very exciting.
His background is in percussion.
That's right.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So it's been a real privilege to partner with him to put together something that is beyond what I could have done.
It sounds like it was a really collaborative effort mm-hmm. between the two of you.
Yeah, that's right.
Catherine, I was excited to read that the orchestra is the Inner Voices String Quartet, which is a professional string quartet based right here in Knoxville. And I understand that they will be joined by a new pianist for Marble City Opera.
That's right. So we're very excited and fortunate to be working with the Inner Voices Quartet again this season. They played for our Suites by Kate a few years ago.
Oh, okay.
And so we're very excited to bring them back. They're all excellent players, mm-hmm. and it's perfect for this piece where we're not using a conductor. Mm-hmm. So to work with an ensemble who is used to working with one another and cueing themselves is amazing. Mm-hmm. For this production, we're bringing on Danny Bryan, mm-hmm. who is a local pianist and plays all over town, I think, for the choral group in Knoxville, as well as at Cooksbury's, fantastic organist as well. So yeah, he'll be joining us on this production as well.
And this is a one-woman show, is that right?
That's right. Yeah. It's a one-woman show as far as the singing is concerned, but perhaps Maria can talk a little bit about some of the extra elements.
Yeah, yes. I would love to hear about
so
that.
So in the production that I saw from London, it was a soprano and a dancer that played the soul of Nero. I have kind of roped together myself and two other colleagues who were students with me at UT. And we are, as three separate people, playing the soul of Nero in certain aspects of this production. And it's kind of going to be a mystery as to when and where they appear. But there are certain dramatic moments in the piece that really go deep, I think, including these three performers as kind of a non-speaking but just kind of movement role/aspect of the piece really helps to intensify some of the moments that need to really go there mm-hmm. emotionally.
It's very visually stunning, the movement that Maria has created with these three souls. And it's going to be a really new experience, I think, for the audience, even a Marble City Opera audience, because the production is happening in Candoro Marble, which is an intimate space in mm-hmm. and of itself, and the audience will be sitting in the round, and we're going to be giving the audience all masks. So mm-hmm. everyone will be wearing a black mask, which will be perfect. It's right after Halloween. November 1st or 2nd is All Souls Day.
That's right.
So, and we have these souls in this production that will actually come out of the audience. So
oh, wow.
they will seem like audience members until they're not. And Sarah, in a lot of her action as well that Maria has staged, plays off the audience that is there. And so they're really, really going to be immersed into the storytelling and feel as though they're the souls of Nero as well.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, the audience kind of plays a role too in terms of being Nero's audience when he wants to get up on his podium and be that emperor that we know him to be and dictate how life should be, but also the audience as a witness to this very intimate, gut-wrenching type of journey that Nero's going through as he faces his death.
As you mentioned, Catherine, this will be performed at Candoro Marble. There may be some people out there who aren't familiar with Candoro Marble. I wonder if you could talk about the space a little bit. It's so beautiful there.
Candoro Marble is over in the Vestal neighborhood of Knoxville, and it's a beautiful old building with black and white marble floors and high ceilings, and there's marble within the building itself because it's near the quarries mm-hmm. of Knoxville. And so it's always been a place that Marble City Opera has wanted to collaborate with because of the relationship to the marble. Which is what our name came from.
That's right.
And so it's kind of like going back home to perform, you know, in the quarries. And I think this is the perfect piece for the location.
The architecture really does look kind of Romanesque, which is, you know, it's so random, just in the middle of a Vestal there.
Yeah.
I bet the acoustics are great too.
It's very live.
Yeah.
It's going to be nice and loud. Bring your earplugs.
Thanks for the warning, Kat. let's see. Maria, tell us a little bit about yourself. You said you were a UT student.
Yes. So I actually trained as an opera singer.
Okay.
I did my undergrad training down in Florida at Stetson University and got just a basic bachelor's in music and a moved to Tennessee to get my master's in voice performance, which is where I met James Marvel and therefore met Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
And I finished my degree, but in my last year of study at UT, I did more of a focus on opera directing.
Mm-hmm.
And I directed a couple scenes with Vol Opera, which is the undergraduate kind of division of opera at UT. Mm-hmm. And then as I graduated, kind of towards the end of my schooling there into being graduated, I started working with Marble City Opera. I did chorus parts. I assistant directed with them a lot last year. And then I just came into this opportunity to direct. I just kind of have fallen in love with opera directing. I didn't know that it was going to be my path,
mm-hmm.
but it just turned out to be something that I had a strength in and a knack for, and it just kind of comes to me.
Yeah.
So
that's exciting.
It's been so good working with Maria. I'm shocked that this is her directing debut, but she just, it comes so naturally to her, and mm-hmm. she has such great ideas. So it's a thrill to be partnering.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, she studied first semester under James Marvel in a directing course as well. And then last year, she assistant directed on The Telephone and La Voix Humaine, and follows the world premiere Follow Suit, and also Postcard from Morocco. So she got to work with three different directors last year as well.
Oh, I bet that was a great experience.
Yeah. Yes.
Catherine, one of the things that I personally love about this production is that it has a lot of female power in it. Okay, you know, we have the female director, and the cast is female, and the string quartet also female. And I understand that the entire season that Marble City Opera is producing features women.
It does, yeah. The title of our season, A Season of Women.
Love it.
I think it was, it's, you know, it's an important time, I think, to make a statement and produce a season with all women and show the leadership and everything that women possess and can bring to these roles and these leadership positions. Sarah's not only the singer, but she's also the creator of this piece. Mm-hmm. And also, I think it's really important to show women doing multiple things, you know, not just being seen as a singer. Maria studied as a singer and she's directing this show and she's excellent in both of those things. And I think it's really a great opportunity for us to not only feature an amazing amount of talent, because there's way more women performers in general and lots of women local performers that are amazing, which will all be featured in our final show, Swarangelica. It's all a local cast and it has about 15-17 singers. Wow. And all local.
Wow.
You know, so that's it's incredible to have that much talent here in town and to be able to feature it, but also to be able to feature people doing multiple roles. I'll be directing The Beneath Suspicion and Letters from George to Evelyn, which features three sopranos, mm-hmm. and provides a great opportunity for them as well. So, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah, me too. Sounds like a great season.
Thank you.
Well, Sarah, Maria, and Catherine, this sounds like a very unique performance, one that we will never encounter here again in Knoxville. Thanks so much for coming in to talk with me about it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Melanie.
Again, Marble City Opera presents the U.S. premiere of the Nero Monologues featuring soprano and writer Sarah Toth, along with the Inner Voices String Quartet and pianist Danny Bryan at Candoro Marble on November 1st, 2nd, and 4th, all at 7:30 p.m. Tickets, program notes, and information available online at marblecityopera.com.